This program was first broadcast on Toro Radio 1575 Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening. I'm Kelvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth radio programs. And recently, we've been delivering a program entitled Exploring the Bible. This has been an interesting and very popular and informative series. The subjects, clearly define the hand of our Creator and how His outstretched arm of mercy is always there. The harmony of God's love and the plan He has graciously given us through His Word is just so wonderful. Where can we find such love and hope in this world? Suffering, violence, greed and envy are the unfortunate downsides of human nature. And we witness it on a large scale on our radios, TVs, etc., at any time, at any place. Jesus' message was a witness when he came to the law and the prophets. Hear how the Apostle Paul used his life. He was a disciple of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 28, I just want to read a few verses there to show how this man, in many trials, how he spent his time. This is near the end of his trial while he's in captivity in Rome. And when they had appointed him a day, that's Paul, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And then down at verse 31, And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. It's actually wonderful that all the other apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ were martyred, and Paul spent the rest of his time here until his death. And we have it recorded, also that in Acts chapter 8, Philip, when he was baptizing, he preached the name of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. So therefore, it is only right then that if we've been doing a study called Exploring the Bible, we need to understand that the plan of God is in that Bible, and it relates around the Lord Jesus Christ. Right from the beginning of the scriptures after creation, the fall of mankind, which we did earlier on, there was a plan that God put in place, a plan of redemption. And we see through the scriptures that this person is a seed that is promised. He came through from Abraham, he came through from David. The genealogies of Jesus is recorded in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 4, which I've spoken of from time to time. And it also showed even before that, how in the days of Noah, there was only a few that were saved, that 8 were saved, that were faithful to God. And what we've been doing, it is our duty and object is to disclose to as much as we can, to as many people as we can, what the Lord God has left on record in these scriptures for us to know concerning His plan with mankind and the world upon it. Some of our subjects that we've been going through we started off with the Bible, the inspired Word of God, and in the beginning how God created, the creation of man, sin entered the world. We spoke about Cain and Abel in the flood of Noah's time, a period of time from Noah to Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God. He was justified by faith, and he's the father of many nations. Yes, he's the father of the Arab nations too. We have the offering of Isaac by Abraham. He was to offer his own son, but then God withheld that knife at the finish because Abraham was a faithful man. He was going to obey God even unto the loss of his son, but he knew then that the Lord God could raise him from the stones and the dust on the ground. How they went into Egypt, how they came out of Egypt, how they went into the promised land, in the prophecies of Daniel, how they were taken into captivity, and the great hope that was shown there, that eventually they would return, and then the Lord Jesus Christ would come eventually and set up that wonderful kingdom on earth. We went through the New Testament, the work of John the Baptist, preluding Jesus' coming, the first coming. We had the crucifixion. The apostles were preaching of what they spread and how they went throughout the Roman Empire, the Roman world at that time. We spoke about the Bible facts on the words of Satan and the devil, which is the diabolus or the adversary. Things that afflict us, not supernatural, but things that are adverse to our way of thinking, that tempt us to draw us into sin. We spoke clearly in the last 2 or 3 weeks on the coming kingdom of God, and the things that are related to prior to it, that Jesus speaks of, that Ezekiel speaks of, Zechariah, many of the prophets, and Daniel, that are to precede the second coming of Jesus and the setting up of the kingdom of God on earth. But there's one important thing that is knowing all those things, that's of no wonderful value unless we can put it to some purpose, unless we can become related to the Son of God. That's what he came for. He obeyed his Father in all points. He was crucified on the cross. We have the scriptures to show that he died, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And if we go back to an Old Testament reading, in Isaiah chapter 55, we can see there that the prophet is encouraging people that while they have life, while they have health, while they have that presence of mind to search God, that they should attend to it. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." He's not really meaning those literal things. He's meaning to buy wisdom and knowledge of God. Let's go down a wee bit further. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and his unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now we can all understand that God, in his mercy, will only pardon a truly sincere, repentant person. A person that understands the word of God and has a conscious feeling that he wants to change perhaps his way of life or his way of thinking. He may not have felt he had many bad ways in his life and or ways of thinking, but and he may not have, or she may not have, but the point is we do have to attain to a certain understanding of the word of God. Because remember, he sent those disciples out to preach the gospel. So if one man says the gospel's this, another man says the gospel's that, they may be both wrong, they can't both be right. God has outlined what the gospel is to be, and belief in that gospel is a prerequisite to our obeying those things that would follow. And if we believe that gospel concerning Jesus and the kingdom of God, we have the words in the scripture that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if we love, and by understanding the gospel, we love the word of God, we love the privilege that God has given us, if we can appreciate that in our heart, it is only right that we would want to further and do things that are right concerning what God would have us to do. And where do we find that? We're not going to find it anywhere else but in the Word of God. So we're looking at lesson 26. We're well through in our scriptures in here. And I'd just like to I'm just checking my time, seeing how we're going there, sorry. We've seen from the gospel message that the apostles set forth that there was a twofold message of hope therein that was recorded. We have considered the things concerning the kingdom of God in the last lesson, and now we're going to concentrate on some of the things associated with the name of Jesus and their bearing upon our life in Christ. The expression, the name of Jesus Christ, incorporates all that God worked out through his Son in providing a forgiveness of sins for mortal man, bringing salvation that finds its fulfillment in the reward of immortality at the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, is that too high an expectation? Well, understanding perhaps our own human nature, it is a high expectation. But God gave his only begotten Son that whomsoever should believe on him should not perish. Therefore, as God is all love, he would ask us to love what he has done and to accept what he has done and love the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did and died on that cross, lay down his life for his friends. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else, he tells us through the prophet Isaiah. Peter told the rulers of Israel, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Jesus also said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, that the world through him might be saved. It is only through belief and then baptism into the name of Jesus Christ that one can be saved. And that is not a guarantee unless we fully believe, unless we fully and sincerely intend to do those things that would have us to do. We're not going to be perfect. Don't think we're going to be perfect at all. But if our conscience and our love and our responsibility are all tied together, and keep on that big focus on that endeavouring to please our Father, endeavouring to be related to him through Jesus, we've been promised eternal life. Thus, when Peter was asked at the Feast of Feast of Pentecost, by those who had listened carefully to his address, what shall we do, they said, after he was telling them all these things that were coming, he answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now they might think remission of sins, well, I haven't really done that many bad. But the point is, when we wake up, and our minds have been, wake up to the attention that we want to follow the Lord God, we want to follow in those commandments that Jesus said, it's a new way of life. And that's why it's likened to a new life of rebirth. So therefore it's that way of baptism that washes away our past. And as we come out of the waters of baptism, we start a newness of life. Peter preached the message of salvation to Cornelius. He pointed out that all the past prophets of Israel had witnessed that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Cornelius responded in faith and therefore was baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10, verses 43 to 48. I mean, this is an example of a Gentile. I think he's the first Gentile that is recorded of that came to an understanding of the Word of God and desired to follow it. Now, that was a hard thing, and it is also hard because what I'm meaning to say is that Paul preaches to us and tells us to be of good courage. Now, courage is an amazing attribute. It's a thing that we struggle with in our lives. But here's a man under orders, Cornelius. He was a soldier in the Roman army. The things that he would have had to do to change his way of life as a newness of life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He had men under him that he'd give orders to all the time. What a change around he had to do. It doesn't tell us much about those things, but we know the other instruction in the scriptures surely show us that this man had to make many changes. Baptism is an identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have noted that there must be a confession of past sins and a repentance therefrom as a basis of acceptable baptism before God. Well, it's a change of ways. We mightn't have to identify every little thing that went wrong, but we have to acknowledge that we're moving forward now. We wish to cover that past, and that's what Jesus is, a covering for sin. Cover that past, and then we wash it away, and when we come out of the waters, we're in newness. Paul explains in simple and clear terms the significance of baptism and the effect that it should have upon the life of the disciple of Christ. In his life, Jesus was at all times completely obedient to the Father's will. This obedience finally took him to the cross, where he was cruelly crucified by wicked men. It says there, though he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he never succumbed to sin. You can read that, that's in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews being the Jewish people, chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. In his death, he finally destroyed those sinful tendencies that are common to all mankind, and which have caused all to fall in sin except him. So we're emphatically told that he partook of the identical flesh and blood nature as we have, that through death he might destroy that which had the power of death. That is the devil, the adversary. That is the devil. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, we're told. So there's a complete change over. There's a two ways. There's a wide way to death or the narrow way in Christ. For as we all have seen in earlier lessons, the diabolus, which is the word for devil, is a synonymous term in the New Testament for the sinful lusts in our bodies. Look at Hebrews 2:14 and Romans 7:15-21. Because of his life of perfect obedience, an obedience that finally took him to his death upon the cross, God raised him to life again and granted him immortality and in his presence. In Acts, look at Acts 2:23 and 24. I just want to read those couple, so just give me a second to whip through my Bible here in front of me. Acts 2, just about there. Yes, here we are. We're here now. Acts 2:23 to 24, and it's Peter and John that are Peter that's talking before the people. He says, "Him, ye men of Israel." 22. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Remember the miracles he did? Which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. He's telling them, you know, you saw them. How being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. See, he was raised because sin is and death. But Jesus did no sin. He wasn't entitled to have any death, but except through his nature. He crucified that nature, and therefore, by his obedience and his death on the cross, he's brought that redemption to us. And he now sits at the right hand of God in heaven, there to meditate as high priest for those who come to God through him. Hebrews 7:25. So we see, friends, that when he went to heaven, from Acts chapter 1, where it shows us that he's at the right hand of God until the time he returns. Ye men of Galilee, you see him gone into heaven, he shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And why is he in heaven? And Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmful, undefiled, separate for sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed no daily or those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. Paul in Romans 6 states that in baptism we identify with our Lord in his death and resurrection, and that which he has accomplished thereby. First, let us consider how we identify with his death. See, Paul says that knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that's the flesh, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Therefore, in baptism, we desire to identify with our Lord's death, a death in which he destroyed once and for all for himself that sin-biased nature, the diabolist. Paul Now, of course, here is the old man. In baptism, your old man is crucified with them, as it were, and we repudiate the ways of sin that have had rule in our life, confessing that we are sinners and desiring to repent. We acknowledge that we are worthy of death because of our sins. We know that there's not a lot of good in us. We not think we're that good. We can't. We're not perfect. We can't. We can try and do our best, but it's still no entitlement to something that the mighty God of heaven and earth has offered. We can never, through all the works we do, all the nice thoughts we might have, all the things, because there'll always be something, things that'll let us down. It is our human nature. We have all those little things in us, as Paul speaks of, and as it is early in the Genesis, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are things that God hates, and therefore we endeavor to crucify them on a daily basis so that we can be approved. Anyway, let's move on here. We've got a wee bit to get through. We might have to have two nights on this session here. As we arise from the waters of baptism, Paul identifies another parallel. We come forth to walk to a new walk in life under our new master God. Paul describes it this way. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the death by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what it is. And we really do have to walk in that newness of life, because friends around us will notice that we've made a change. So therefore, we're going to be really a living Bible in a sense. I know people might call it Bible bashers, but I mean, the point is, we are following the Lord God, creator of the heaven and earth, and the one that's provided us with these scriptures. And all the instruction for our lives are contained in those scriptures. So therefore, we need to attend to them and search them out and try to mold our life into that pattern, and therefore people will look at us and they may wish to follow us further. But if they see us being disobedient to what they should, to what they would expect a Christian to be, they will never look toward God. They will look at us and think hypocrisy. And the world is full of hypocrisy, but let not it be found amongst those that are coming to God in truth and righteousness. It is in this newness of life that the disciple now strives to follow Christ. It is a life which Christ has seen living in us, for we strive to follow his example. Paul describes the change in his life, saying, I am crucified with Christ. That is, the old man, the old Paul, was dead now, he said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, can you appreciate that? You can only appreciate it by an outward way in love. The love of Christ manifest in laying down his life for the sins of the world constrained Paul to respond by committing his life in service to his Lord. Jesus had said, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you, he says. So therefore we want to identify with Jesus, realizing and understanding that what he went through to save us. Let's pay attention to the instruction and do the best we can, because as we're doing the best we can, we might be able to help others see this new way in life, but not only the new way in life, see this hope that's coming for this world, this kingdom of God that is going to rule from Israel, from Jerusalem, from the Mount Zion, where a wonderful temple is going to be built. Yes, a wonderful temple is going to be built. It's going to be, as it's called by Isaiah, a house of prayer for all nations, that nations will come up to serve the King, serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crowned to be a king. He is the Messiah. He is our King. He is our Savior. He's all those things. And he will rule from Jerusalem. And that's what we've been promised, to live and reign with Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. A lot of our studies in Scripture, we keep trying to do the things that Jesus said. Like he said, watch and be ready. Watch and be ready, and not sleeping, not perhaps doing too many of the natural things that we might like to do. And there are many things that tend to our fancies that we like to do in this world, which are all right to a certain extent, but let us never omit to pay attention to the important things of following the Word of God. We have a system here, actually. We have a Bible companion, we call it, and it's a reading of the Old Testament once a year, and the New Testament twice a year. It goes through the dates all the way through. If anyone wishes to apply for that and send for that, we'd be gratefully could send that to you. It's a great helpful way of reading through, and with our brethren and sisters and people that we know read the same thing. So when we come together, we can discuss and talk to them about what they've been reading, or if we've got a question or something like that, we can communicate with one another and help one another. And interesting enough, the Jewish people also, they have a scripture reading of that too, with obviously just the Old Testament and the Torah and that, but they read the same ones too, so that they're in line with other Jewish people, so when they wish to talk about different things. Well, we're running really out of time again, so I'm going to have to continue with this at a bit more of our walking in newness of life with this changeover, so that we're just keeps our life positive, keeps our life focused, and realizing that the financial problems, the suffering problems that are throughout the world are a temporary fix, but they're a sure sign that the world cannot govern itself. The world likes to think it can, it's smart and clever and arrogant and that, doesn't want to follow any of God's principles, because that's why they've caused all these problems. They're not following godly principles. If they followed God's principles, they would not get into these types of things. But we know that the kingdom of God that Jesus preached was a vast contrast to the things that were going on around him, and it's a vast contrast to the things that are going around us. Look at Psalm 72. Look at Isaiah 32 and Isaiah 40. Think about the things that Jesus was out throughout all the world preaching the gospel. Anyway, time is gone, so I must sign off now. And remember, further information for this, you can log on to www.findthelight.org or Christadelphian P.O. Box 595 Dunedin, or write to me myself, Kelvin Lyon, on 4822 698 on RD2 Waitati. Thank you very much for listening. Good night just now.
This program was first broadcast on Torah Radio, 1575, Dunedin, and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.